The theme for today is kindness. We're looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, where the Bible says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Today, kindness, I'm thinking of that, that story we read. Perhaps you're even more familiar with that story of Ruth, but it seems like a wonderful love story in a way about Ruth and Boaz, how they get together and they're going to have a baby, and that baby ends up being, you know, in the line of King David. But it's not a love story. Well, in this sense, it's a story about the love of God that's expressed in kindness and that's mirrored in the kindness shown between Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Boaz, this man whom she eventually marries, and Ruth. And that kindness is really God's kindness. So I'll ask you to follow along with me today as we look at how kindness is a fruit of God's Spirit. And we'll refer back to this passage in Ruth as well as the one in Titus. God's kindness reaches across barriers. He reaches across the barrier of our sin to lift us up, lift our burden, lift off our sin. In the story we read, long before Ruth and Naomi were born, God gave this law to his people through Moses. When you reap the harvest of your land, don't reap to the very edges of your field, nor gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and alien. That's long before this story, back in the book of Leviticus, it's recorded. Now, Ruth was from Moab. She was an alien. She was a stranger. And she was poor because she was a widow who accompanied her mother-in-law, who was also a widow, from her home in Moab to live with the Lord's people. And the Lord wanted his kindness seen. And so the Lord gave this law. Don't harvest to the edge of your field, nor gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the alien. And this is a story that goes back to the time of the Exodus, when God's people were being delivered from Egypt on their way to the promised land. For generations, people remembered that story, and they still do today, the Jewish people, in the celebration of Passover. And they remember how God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, how the Lord reached to his people, suffering as slaves in Egypt, set them free and put them in his promised land. It was a wonderful work of kindness of God. And the gospel points to this celebration of Passover by talking about Jesus. And it says, Jesus, our Passover lamb, is slain. Jesus is our Passover lamb who shows God's kindness, reaching across the barrier of our sin to lift us up to be his people. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. That's what Paul writes in Titus about the coming of Jesus, that Passover lamb. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he's talking about Jesus. He saved us. For Christ to leave his comfort of heaven, for Christ to leave that home where he was exalted by the angels and become like us, where he was mocked and spit at by human beings, sinners like you and I, it's nothing less than the miracle of God's kindness. He walked across the barriers, as it were, of our sin and our misery. He cleansed us in Christ's blood. He gave us life everlasting. Kindness is seen in God's salvation. When the kindness and love of our Savior appeared, of our God appeared, he saved us. He stooped down to pick us up. He lifted us up from death and hell, brought us into his presence that we might live forever with him. That's the motion of kindness as it's shown to us from God in the Bible. And the second way that kindness is a fruit of God's Spirit, that we can reflect God's kindness when we lift other people's burdens, when we follow what God did. And we see that in the story of Ruth. This man and his workers, they're out in the field cutting down barley stalks with a sickle. Then they would pile up those fallen stalks and tie them together into a big bundle, a sheaf. And some of the heads of grain were so ripe and so full when they're harvesting that when they cut the stalks with the sickle or when they carried them to be bundled together, some of the heads of the grains would just fall off. The workers may have wanted to pick up that grain, put it in the sack that they slung across their shoulder, but the owner would say, "Leave it there. Leave it there. Don't pick up the grain that's fallen on the ground. You see that woman back there who's all alone? Her husband died last year, and she doesn't have any other way to get food. So she'll pick them up. She'll pick up the heads of grain that have fallen. She'll make her bread with it. And besides, the Lord our God told us not to gather the gleanings of the harvest, but to leave them for the poor and the widow." So when Ruth goes out that day to glean, she finds herself working in the field of a man named Boaz, who is filled with the joy and kindness of the Lord. You see how they greet each other? "The Lord be with you." And Boaz says to Ruth, "Stay by me and stay by my crew. I'll keep you safe. I'll protect you. When you're tired, take a break. When you're thirsty, feel free to drink from the canteens that the men have filled up. Don't worry about what they might say or what they might do to you, because I'm in charge here, and I told them to respect you." "But why," Ruth asks, "why would you give this protection to me? I'm a stranger." She was from a foreign country, a country that was not part of God's kingdom. "Well, because," Boaz says, "I want you to see the blessing of the Lord. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I want you to experience the protection and care of our God, the Lord. The Lord's kindness is greater than that of a mother eagle who would cover her chicks with her wings to protect them from the wind and the rain. I want you to see God's kindness." And God's kindness shined through Boaz, who was living out the kindness of the Lord. What's striking when you read the book of Ruth, there are no angel visitors who bring a message from God like you find at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. There's no angels that show up. In the book of Ruth, there's no prophet that gets a word from the Lord and then stands in front of the people. This is what the Lord said. There's no prophet in the book of Luke, excuse me, book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, even though it's from the time of the judges, there's no judge fighting battles to deliver God's people. God shows us in the book of Ruth simply a faithful and kind man going about his business, following the patterns that the Lord gave, and showering kindness on these poor widows. A kindness that brought hope, a kindness that brought a new future, not only to Ruth and Naomi, but also to the people of God. As Ruth becomes a forebearer, a mother of David, the great king. You see that power of kindness at work? People act with kindness when they take time to listen to a person tell their struggles. People act with kindness when they give out bottles of water to fairgoers on a hot August afternoon. People act with kindness when they look after their neighbor's property when their neighbor's off on vacation. People act with kindness when they offer a hug to a friend who's overwhelmed or to a family member who needs reassurance. They give a hug reminding them that they're loved and they're supported. People act with kindness when they drop off a meal to someone who's sick or when they send a meal delivery to someone who just had a baby. Not only are you nourishing that person's body, but you're nourishing their soul by showing you care in an act of kindness. People act with kindness when they give a sincere compliment. A sincere compliment enables us to show another person that they are seen and that they're respected and valued and appreciated. Or you see the slides that are here? These slides are, in some regards, are echoing something that people in relief are familiar with. You know, give someone a fish and they eat for a day. Teach someone to fish and they eat for a lifetime. Teaching someone to fish is an act of kindness. Kindness lifts somebody up. It cares for them in their need. And it echoes what we have seen in the kindness and love of Christ our Savior, who crossed the barrier of our sin and shame to save us with his own precious blood. So how is kindness a fruit of God's Spirit? It comes from God. His salvation is an expression of kindness. And we echo it when by his Spirit we follow his way. But I want to think briefly about what might prevent you from showing kindness. For some, all this talk about kindness sounds kind of weak, wimpy, maybe soft. You know, in the 19th century, the German philosopher Nietzsche hated Christianity's encouragement of kindness. Nietzsche said that Christians drain strong people by making them kind. They're wasting their energy on lepers and cripples and other oppressed people. Kindness drains the strong, is what Nietzsche said. Perhaps we're held back from kindness because it makes us feel a little weak or appear weak. We don't want to appear weak. But the Bible's picture of kindness is anything but weakness. It's a picture of Jesus coming in all his power to lay down his life for you and me. That took incredible inner strength to face a trial that he prayed might pass from him as he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. A strength that enabled him to step into our trouble, our pains, our sin, and bear it, carry it, that he might lift us out of our trouble. It's the power of God at work, transforming us. That's God's kindness, to help others in all of their troubles. So what does it take to put on kindness? Well, three things as we've been looking at each week. Three things. First is a vision. You got to see kindness lived out. You need a picture of what kindness looks like in God's world. And we've been talking about that in terms of God's kindness. God showed his kindness to Israel, bringing them out of slavery. God showed his kindness by calling them to reflect that kindness to those who are poor. Don't harvest to the edge of your field. Leave the gleanings in the field that the poor and the needy might get them. And that lifting up action of God is what's come to a climax in the Bible story in Jesus, who took on our sin, who conquered the devil, who overpowered death, who gave us new life. As Titus says, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of any righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. The power of God in salvation is kindness. Well, that's the basic vision. And the story we read today is a vision of how that can be lived out by faithful people in work, where you reach out to people in need. Boaz had seen Ruth's kindness, where she left her home and her family to help her poor, widowed mother-in-law. She left her own home, came to a strange land, and made the Lord her God. Boaz was a kindness that's based on her kindness, showed her kindness, was trying to further it along. He gave her food, opportunity to harvest food, and make sure there was enough of the leavings. So she got 30 pounds of grain that she brought home after one day a week. It helped her be lifted out of her situation to gain what she needed to live and flourish in God's world. That's the picture of kindness. Like God, stooping down to lift us up. So what's needed to grow in kindness? You've got to see it. You've got to see what the Bible tells us about the kindness and love of our God, our Savior. And second, we've got to have intention. We want to be Christ's hands. To put on kindness, you need to see yourself as an instrument for God's purpose in the world. That this life that we live is not about you or me, but it's about God and us living into His purposes in His world. And He tells us that one of His purposes is for us to shine with the kindness of Jesus by serving. There's a story in the Gospels where the mother of James and John come to Jesus and they ask Jesus that her sons might achieve great things, that they can be seated at Jesus' right and left, that they may give places of honor. Well, the other disciples start getting upset with James and John about all this talk, but Jesus tells them, whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. That was Jesus' motion of kindness, not to be served, but to serve, to sacrifice. And by God's Spirit in you, I trust that you want to serve. I'm looking forward, together I guess we'll hear more in a couple weeks from the youth group, how they served in this past week and what that did to them, how that helped them, how they grew in it. Because kindness is a power by that Holy Spirit that enables you to lift another person. Help them get out of their situation. That's the kind of people we want to be. I believe that deep in your heart is a desire for a sense of purpose. That you want to make a difference in this world. That you want to matter to somebody in this world. I know it because the Bible says that God designed you and me in His image, and He said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Subdue the earth. In other words, God made us to make a difference in the world. Our presence matters in God's world. And what are one of the ways that God's presence, God calls us to make a difference? By shining the mirror of the kindness of Jesus. Shining like a mirror in the kindness of Jesus. So that by God's Spirit you want to be kind. That may include writing a check for charity. That may include listening to a neighbor and supporting them through their struggle. It may include making friends of residents in a nursing home. It may include offering health care classes to people who are poor. It may include simply being there when a person near you needs support. It may include using the parsonage as a place to help people get on their feet again. It may include some ways that God's nudging you to show His kindness. What does it take to put on kindness? To see ourselves as an instrument of God's purposes. And then third, what does it take to put on kindness? To quiet our automatic response and express it in action, to do it. When it comes to loving kindness, there's an automatic response that may keep you from showing it. I can tell you what does it for me. I get nervous, I get anxious, I get afraid. I say to myself, I'm going to be taken advantage of. I'm afraid that someone's going to use me. Someone's playing me for a fool. So I don't risk anything. Or I might be afraid of being rejected. This person that I'm visiting, do they really want me to be there? I'm afraid that the other person isn't caring about me being there. They don't want me there. And so I hold back. I hesitate. Or I'm afraid of being laughed at. Maybe out loud, but maybe even just secretly. I don't want to look the fool, so I don't step out. Or I'm afraid that I'll simply be too uncomfortable. You know what it's like when someone dies and you're visiting with those who are grieving and you don't know what to say? And you may just stammer and shuffle your feet. I don't want to do that. I hate being uncomfortable with people, so I might not step into that relationship. I'm holding back because I want to stay in my comfort zone, as we call it. But the Bible tells us that perfect love drives out fear. To stop that inner conversation that fuels our fear, all the things that we might be afraid of, being taken advantage of, being rejected, not being accepted, being laughed at, being uncomfortable, need to go back and remember everything we've received from God in His perfect love. And rest in that for a while. His perfect love drives out fear. Now, we do this in worship every week. We spend time confessing our sins and hearing God's word of assurance. We're reminded again and again that what we have is not something we deserved, but what we have is simply a gift, salvation, new life, hope. The way God creates us, makes us His stewards of all the resources, are all gifts that He gives. We didn't do anything to deserve it. And God showered His kindness on us. And He calls us to be His hand of mercy. So as we remember God's love by God's Spirit, we can step into it. Well, think about that for this week. Who is somebody near you that you can show God's kindness to? There's someone, I'm sure, that's near you. Maybe they're going through a hard time. Maybe they're struggling in certain ways. Maybe a financial issue. Maybe they're just lonely. Maybe there are people near you who are recovering and need a sympathetic ear. Who's somebody near you that you can show God's kindness to? Maybe there's an organization that you're deeply moved by and they've been sending you requests for support and you can use them to shower God's kindness on somebody else. Some of the examples I'd given earlier of kindness come from the website of Compassion International. There's organizations like that that you can support to help show the kindness of God. What can you do to lift someone up? I don't believe that everyone touched by the power of God automatically, instantly, totally becomes perfectly kind. It's something we grow in. We let God's power at work inside of us. He will hold us. He will lift us up. He will move us. And by His Spirit, we can put on the clothing of Jesus Christ and be kind.